The forces of order are the bulwark against the darkness, the battered but resolute shield that keeps the terrors of the realms from preying upon mortals. For them, each day is not only a battle for survival, but also to reclaim what was lost over centuries of bloodshed and horror. Of all the great alliances battling for control of the realms, the forces of order are perhaps the most disparate. Not united by religion, species, or even creed. The only thing these factions can agree on is that the goal of bringing civilization back to the realms is preferable to endless, mindless violence, worship of the dark gods, or slavery to an undead tyrant. What form that civilization takes is, of course, never entirely agreed upon. For each faction, naturally, considers its own ways to be supreme. The armies of order are composed of determined human soldiery, industrious and stubborn dwarven, fey and mystical elves, and stranger beings besides. They believe in the power of the many over the few, and of whole societies turned towards a common goal. Their ingenuity, determination, and faith in the gods means they are capable of rising to and overcoming the myriad challenges they face, clawing out an existence in the mortal realms. Though the preachers and propagandists of Azir claim that all stand together as a united front against the darkness, it would be a mistake to assume the armies of order are universally noble. Over a century after the dawn of the Age of Sigmar, even the most honorable of their number are less than the paragons they once were. Plenty are malicious by human standards, or so unnatural in their morality that would-be allies have little chance of ever comprehending them. Tensions fester between many of the great powers of order, egos and desires clashing with often violent results. Their commitment to defending the civilizations of their allies lasts only as long as there is a threat bedeviling them all, or some other benefit they can garner from the partnership. On many occasions, the armies of order have even drawn blades against one another, whether in pursuit of resources and land, or to satisfy long-standing grudges. But although many forces of order are far from benevolent, it is also the growing nations of order that produce many of the true heroes of the mortal realms. Be they human, dwarven, elf, or otherwise, these champions recall the glory of the elder days, and know that only by working together do they stand a chance of recovering that which they have lost. Many have been forced to undergo tormenting ordeals, or make terrible choices in the wars for the realms. Yet, throughout, they have held on to their essential nobility. Along with the brave warriors under their command, they carry the torch of civilization into the dark places, putting their lives and their very souls on the line for the chance to forge a brighter tomorrow for their people. With the exception of the reptilian Seraphon, all the peoples of Order claim allegiance to a member of Sigmar's pantheon. From the Dwarden's ancestor gods to the wise elven deities, these beings were responsible for shaping the grand empires that arose during the Age of Myth. Their legacy can still be seen throughout the realms, preserved in the cultures of their followers and the forlorn ruins that dot the wastelands. The pantheon of Order was shattered in the Age of Chaos, likely never to be rebuilt. Still, the God King and his allies stand firm against those who would undo their works. With Grungni returned and Alariel accepting that isolation is no longer an option, there is a flicker of old times in the halls of Azirheim once more. A sense that, despite the many evils still to be vanquished, meaningful progress toward restoring civilization is possible. The greatest hope of Order is found in the huge metropolises and ever-expanding frontiers of the Sigmarite nations. For some, these are true beachheads of light amidst the darkness. For others, they are simply useful targets to absorb the fury of their enemies, or even resources to callously exploit in order to fuel their own ascension. The ramparts of these burgeoning settlements are manned by courageous mortal soldiery and the mighty Stormcast Eternals, aided by myriad allies both old and new. Out in the wilds, the various factions of Order seek prosperity and dominion in their own ways. The Caradhron overlords ply the skyways. Eidneth Deepkin raid from the seas, while the cold-blooded Seraphon weave the cosmic pattern to align with their mysterious great plan. Each morning, new hosts march out to the tolling of the Dawnbringer bells, striking out into hell to beat back the shadow of ruin. The scale of the task is lost on none. All know that each day can bring a new form of horror, and see their gains crumble to naught. But mortal hopes are difficult to extinguish entirely. And so long as one warrior of Order stands fast, the forces of ruin and corruption will be denied their final victory. Stormcast Eternals. The Stormcast Eternals are Sigmar's favorite champions, mighty warriors who wield the Tempest's fury as a weapon, and who return from death to continue the God King's wars. Their storm hosts have become famed across Sigmar's empire, and yet, even these blessed champions possess their own dark secrets. In the throne rooms of Chaos Dreadholds, around the flickering fires of Orc war camps, and the heart of morbid sepulchres, the forces of Misrule whisper in fear of the God King's holy knights. It is said that they ride to war upon bolts of lightning, that the rumble of the storm heralds their coming, and that even death cannot prevent them from returning to exact justice. The enemies of Sigmar are right to be afraid, for these knights are real. They are the hammer of the heavens, wielded both in vengeance for countless fallen civilizations and to forge the future. They are the Stormcast Eternals, and they are the God King's fury made manifest. Every Stormcast Eternal was chosen by Sigmar himself. Each was invested with the might of 12 mortals and charged with returning hope to the realms. Their armies descend from Azir with comet-like force to lay low the most terrible of foes and triumph over the most unforgiving of odds. An existence of constant combat and strife asks much of the Stormcasts. Some have even come to view their ability to be reforged upon death as more of a curse than a boon, as the flaws in the process begin to take their toll. Yet the Stormcasts have thus far proved equal to their mammoth task. Through the sacrifice of the Stormcasts were the Realmgate Wars prosecuted and the seeds of hope first raised. They saw 1,000 tyrants cast down and the banners of order flown high to reclaim once mighty civilizations. Yet the Stormcasts are capable of inspiring as much fear as awe. In the past, their dedication to law has been taken to extreme and bloody ends. The populations of Excelsis and Vindicarum still shell-shocked in the wake of the Great Purges are the best examples of the consequences of the Stormcast's heavy-handed retribution. But uneasy rumblings have spread far beyond their walls. Now, chaos cults use the reputation for retributive violence garnered by hardline storm hosts as a means of stirring up dissent, while ambitious nobles plot to remove those Stormcasts who would curb their designs via an assassin's dagger, if need be. But to those who march in the Dawnbringer Crusades, opinion is very different. They have seen the might of Sigmar's Chosen unleashed against their enemies, witnessed the storm-forged power of their warriors, and the courage they display standing against the direst of odds. In turn, the Stormcasts bear those burdens that even the most determined of mortals could not. With their divine strength, celestial blessings, and hard-won strategic acumen, they are the bane of even the most tenacious of evils. Every Stormcast Eternal was once a mortal man or woman, taken from their former lives and remade into the weapons Sigmar needed. During the dark days following the closure of the Gates of Azir, the God King knew that he would require a new army to fight back against the triumphant forces of Chaos. An army specially forged for the wars to come. So did he cast his gaze across the realms, searching for those champions who stood firm against the armies of ruin. Those he deemed worthy were snatched away from the precipice of death, carried to Azir in blasts of celestial lightning. Not all chosen in this way were born warriors. Some were physicians, blacksmiths, and scholars. Their only point of commonality being their heroic defiance of chaos. Nor was it only the living that Sigmar sought. He also took the most warlike spirits from the underworlds of Shaiish, an act that saw him named thief and betrayer by Nagash. For all these interventions, there was a cost. Shorn of their greatest champions, many civilizations were overcome by chaos, their people ground down through slaughter and misery. Halost and Ossia were particularly stripped of their mightiest spirits, and those that remain believe that the God King's theft was a prime cause of their near total conquest by the armies of Khorne and Nurgle. Sigmar is not a god given to contrition, however, and considered all this to be a necessary evil. The fight against the dark gods was everything, and he would brook no compromise, no matter how dire the consequences. Once transported to Azir, a chosen soul undergoes the process known as a reforging. Few know even scant details concerning this sacred rite, for the Stormcasts do not speak of it to outsiders, and only rarely to each other. An aspirant soul must pass through the cairns of tempering before being blasted apart and reconstituted through divine power upon the anvil of apotheosis. Not all are capable of surviving this ordeal. Some simply discorporate into wisps of spirit essence, while others become twisted elemental horrors of which mortal and immortal alike are forbidden to speak. Nevertheless, those who endure earn the right to name themselves Stormcast Eternals. They are trained in the Gladiatorium, a colossal magical arena gifted to Sigmar by the Shadow King Malarion, and granted weapons forged with as much wondrous artifice as themselves. For these mighty heroes, death is not the end. It was the God King's design that upon being slain, they would explode into bright heavenly novas before their souls blasted back to Azir. The celestial energy unleashed by this violent discorporation can devastate the enemy in scouring flares of purity. Upon returning to the heavenly realm, the souls would undergo the reforging once more. Reborn through the skill of the six smiths, demigod servants of Grungni, before being hurled yet again into the tumultuous cauldron of war. It has been known for some Stormcasts to be slain at the beginning of a grueling siege, only to be agonizingly reforged and returned to the fight at the same engagement's conclusion. Reforging, however, carries its own dire cost. Each time a Stormcast is reborn upon the anvil of apotheosis, they return changed. For some, this alteration is in body. Their voice becomes the boom of thunder, and when wounded, lightning spills forth in place of blood. Far more commonly, however, It is their minds that are affected. Memories of past lives begin to fade, replaced with an endless cycle of bloodshed and death. A Lord Celestant may learn the name of each foul tyrant she slays, yet forget the face of her son, or the sight of the morning's first light rising over her ancestral homelands. Their morality grows more binary, to the point that they lose their ability to see anything but in the most totalitarian terms. Those so affected may burn a village to the ground to stave off even the potential of Nurgleite infection, or condemn a thief stealing bread to feed their starving family to the same harsh punishment they would a serial murderer. Many Stormcasts dread this fate above all others. Though none would admit it openly, some have even come to believe that there can be no final victory for them, that even should they succeed in their dreams of reconquest, their souls and minds will be too degraded from enduring countless deaths and reforgings to derive any joy from it. Many of their number now cling onto their half-remembered pasts all the more aggressively to counteract this slippage of memory, immersing themselves in their often long-dead former cultures, and giving voice to battle cries not heard for centuries as they vent their fury upon the foe. Every Stormcast belongs to a Stormhost, a gathering of hundreds or thousands of warriors, united by heraldry, temperament, culture, and tactical preference. Many Stormhosts have come into being since the days of the First Striking, and the cathedrals of the free cities echo with hymnals in praise of the most noble. The Hammers of Sigmar, golden champions who fight at the bleeding edge of the God King's wars, and the Hallowed Knights, pious defenders who clad themselves in the bones of saints. Yet there are Stormhosts possessed of a more tempestuous mien, and the devotions lathered upon them are underpinned by a current of fear. The raging Celestial Vindicators, uncompromising Knights Excelsior, and sinister Sons of Malice all exemplify a darker side to the God King's armies. Though members of a Stormhost often take great pains to maintain relics and traditions from their former lives, they will also bond with their reforged brothers and sisters through customs that have developed amongst their warrior societies. Though all adhere to the broad strokes of Sigmar's commandments, many Stormhosts possess their own rituals, titles, and fraternities that embody their values. Some amongst the Celestial Vindicators, for instance, pay homage to an entity known as the Father of Blades, said to be formed from the conjoined animus of 12 legendary swords, while the patricians of the Tempest Lords place great stock upon making at least 12 kills in each battle, otherwise known as making the 12 tally. With every passing year, the Stormhosts become more culturally divergent, and as the Stormcasts undergo repeated reforgings, these new traditions have begun to supplant the memories of their past existences. So vast are the storm hosts that they rarely fight as a single entity. Instead, chambers and brotherhoods, the term applied to cross-conclave formations of stormcasts assembled for specific missions, are dispatched to garrison settlements, fight in the Dawnbringer Crusades, and seek out Sigmar's enemies. For most of the Stormhost's existence, their chambers have been divided into various specializations. The warriors of the Strike Chambers form the core of many brotherhoods, shields locked against the enemy's advance. The Vanguard Auxiliary Chambers are made up of cunning hunters accustomed to running down the enemies of Azir through precise strikes. Those of the Sacrosanct Chambers are warrior mages, channeling the power of the heavens into their weapons or through blasts of holy lightning. Arguably, the most fearsome of all stormcasts are those of the Extremis Chambers, the mailed fist of the God King. These warriors ride to battle atop the celestial children of Dracothion, reptilian beasts who are endowed with the power of the cosmos and of the storm. When their mounted echelons take to battle in great number, even the largest hordes are broken by their line-shattering charges. Chambers are, in turn, comprised of retinues. Many different retinues make up the storm hosts, but each can be classified as belonging to a conclave. The Redeemer conclaves, for example, are comprised of indomitable stormcasts who anchor a battle line, such as Liberators and Vindicators, while the Scarred Veterans, who fill out Annihilator and Retributor retinues, counted amongst the elite paladin conclaves. At their head march the lords and knights who are entrusted with chamber command, or who originate from temples devoted to a particular role, such as the morbid priests of the Relictor temples or wise seers of the Veildictor temple. Though the hyper-specialized nature of the original Stormcast Chambers made each incredibly effective in their particular brand of warfare, years of grueling battle have forced the need to adapt to myriad new foes and challenges. Since Grungni's return, many chambers have begun to combine different types of conclave in hitherto unforeseen fashion, creating armies that are better able to adapt to a wide array of circumstances and allow the Stormcasts to operate away from their strongholds for extended periods. It is well that the Stormcasts have adapted, for rarely has their task ever seemed more insurmountable. The era of the beast has begun, with a roar of terrible savagery, and even the realms themselves have been stoked into a frenzy, simply to defend those gains already made would be a daunting proposition. To actively expand the frontiers of the Sigmarite nations is an order of magnitude greater still. The Stormcasts are an integral element of the Dawnbringer Crusades, often advancing at the fore of the column so that they will be the first to encounter the most terrible of horrors. Their commanders strategize alongside the leaders of mortal soldiery, sometimes from a position of brotherhood and nobility, at others dictating their orders in cold and clipped fashion. And along with the holy blood and prayers of consecration of the devoted of Sigmar, they turn their own divine energies to the sanctification of the lands. Still, for all their might, the storm hosts nevertheless contend with realms transformed into veritable hellscapes, and even they cannot win every battle. Once, all those Stormcast Eternals slain in the Crusades would have blasted straight back to Azir, there to be reforged and dispatched to join the war once more. This, however, is no longer a sure thing. The machinations of the demon Belakor have birthed what have become known as the Cursed Skies. Localized but insidious arcane phenomena in which the upper vaults of the realms are polluted by raw chaotic essence. So thick are these layers of corruption that they are capable of preventing the souls of many slain Stormcasts from returning to the celestial realm. Only the most potent are able to penetrate the cursed skies, and many do not survive the attempt. Cursed to be torn asunder by hungering demons, or devolve into shrieking lightning geists. This severance from blessed Azir is the worst fear of many Stormcasts realized, and for a time was even believed to put the lie to their supposed immortality. The Stormkeeps have thus become even more critical strong points, for they are now the only true fortresses many of Sigmar's armies can trust in, and their connections to their client cities are now stronger than ever. The Cursed Skies could well have proved the bane of the Stormcasts, but hope remains in the form of Grungni. The Great Maker has at last returned to the smithies of Azir, eyes aflame with the light of 1,000 forges, and hammer toiling endlessly against the anvil of apotheosis. Through this heroic toil, the storm hosts have been reinforced with a new martial masterpiece, Thunderstrike armor. Only those Stormcasts who prove themselves to possess the worthiest of souls are entrusted with this divinely wrought plate. Through the Arcane Maker's mark worked into each suit, these Thunderstrike Stormcast Eternals, as they are known, are capable of harnessing the fulminating energies within them as never before. They descend from the heavens with a swiftness and force hitherto unseen, emerging from columns of celestial brilliance and to the approving crash of thunder to lay about the foe. The blaze of light that heralds their descent blinds their adversaries with its purity, while every blow they land crackles with the barely contained fury of the tempest. Should one of these champions fall, their Thunderstrike armor channels and releases the energies unleashed at the moment of their demise with redoubled force, a final blazing act of sacrifice and vengeance before their soul ascends to Azir for reforging. The Thunderstrike Stormcasts are Sigmar's response to the changing nature of war in the realms. And unlike the potent but sometimes unwieldy hammer blow formations of yesteryear, they are organized to operate autonomously for extended periods. For with the Sigmarite strong points constantly imperiled, the Stormcasts must become warriors of all the realms once more, not solely Azir. Exemplifying this is the Stormcast's opposition of the Cruel Boys. Through the murky swamplands and across primordial savannas of Gur, they have fought these raiders, repelling them from the Sigmarite strongpoints and exacting retribution for those who had suffered at the hands of the Greenskins. Sigmar has dispatched Jindrasta, one of the near mythical lords of Azir forged by the God King's own hands, to combat these raiders and their raging god monstrosity, Kragnos. For the destruction spread in his wake cannot be allowed to reach the heartlands of the Sigmarite nations. It is an onerous challenge, but the Stormcasts will meet it with valor and determination, as they always have. Cities of Sigmar. The cities of Sigmar stand proud against the forces of ruination and disorder. From these shining fastnesses, hosts of mortal soldiery march forth to reclaim the realms. Supported by all manner of bizarre iron-willed arsenal war engines and the potent mages of the Collegiate Arcane. The cities of Sigmar are the God King's great hope for the future. Each is a beachhead of civilization in realms that are still largely lost to the savage wilds or corrupted by chaos. They are shining jewels, though far from untarnished, set amongst a sea of roiling, choking darkness. Flanked by high walls that are run through with channels of blessed star water, and guarded by hissing, clanking cog forts, they stand firm and defiant against the endless horde of enemies who would see Sigmar's works cast down. Yet, despite the many technological marvels and arcane wards that mark their boundaries, the greatest defense possessed by the cities of Sigmar is their inhabitants, standing armies of men, elves and dwarven, who through courage and noble sacrifice have forged lives for themselves in the unforgiving realms. They are the remnants of culture battered and bloodied during the flight to Azir, and who are now determined to reclaim all that was lost during the hateful Age of Chaos. Every one of these bastions of order, from the most meager outpost to the grandest fortress city, can call upon a garrison of skilled and hard-bitten troops to defend it in times of crisis. In most cities, these garrisons are largely filled by well-trained human soldiers from the free guilds. Men and women from all walks of life can find their way into the Free Guild battalions. Conscripts, career soldiers, and nobles seeking adventure and glory all rub shoulders upon the battle line, facing down the God King's enemies. Whatever their origins, however, the harsh demands of life in Sigmar's armies soon forge raw recruits into toughened fighters. Ranks of Frigil Guard present a wall of steel to the approaching foe, while handgunners and crossbowmen scythe down those who dare too close with disciplined bursts of fire. Valorous demigriff knights ride down the foe from atop their half-avian mounts, their lives protected by the elite warriors of the great sword battalions, the Free Guild generals, each a veteran battlefield commander trained in the famed martial academies of the Sigmaride nations and honed in the crucible of bitter conflict, know that the defense of their homes rests squarely upon their shoulders. Those unworthy of the vaunted positions are soon weeded out, for the mortal realms are not kind to those who value wealth and birth over grit and steel. A single free city can play host to multiple free guilds, each with their own traditions, heraldry, and favored tactics. Many regiments favor a flamboyant style of uniform, clading themselves in vibrant colors and befeathered caps. This should not be mistaken for a sign of weakness. Indeed, it is the complete opposite. Having fought to reclaim their homes from the scourge of chaos, in the process of enduring much hardship and often squalor, the Free Guilders consider it their hard-won right to dress extravagantly. For many, it is a vital form of catharsis in an existence dominated by conflict and bloodshed. More than one itinerant traveler between the fastnesses of Sigmar's emergent empire has drunkenly insulted the seemingly foppish attire of one of the city's soldiers, only to be confronted with a displeased 30-year veteran of some of the most grueling warfare imaginable. The Free Guild does not stand alone in their defense of the God King's nations, however. Within the cities of Sigmar can be found all manner of agents, subcultures, and warrior cults, ready and willing to take up arms in the name of preserving their homes. The Collegiate Arcane are human wizards who seek to better understand all aspects of magic, while the Zealous Devoted of Sigmar cleanse the lands around each city with their sanctified blood. Dispossessed Duardin form impenetrable Grommel shield walls to protect the buildings they help raise, supported by the wondrous war machines of the Ironweld Arsenal. Many types of elves can be found throughout the cities of Sigmar, often forming their own districts and quarters away from the eyes of the Grand Conclave. Some are noble and honorable, like the far-ranging wanderers and silent guardians of the Phoenix Temple. Others are mysterious and sinister, ranging from the cruel dragon knights of the Order Serpentis to the stealthy Shadowblade assassins. Even as Sigmar's reconquest continues, not all ancient prejudices have been set aside. And within each city, there is always tension between various factions and cultures. Each seeks to advance their own interests at the cost of their rivals. For mortals, some things will never change. When the clarion call to war is sounded, however, these divisions are put aside until the greater external threats are defeated, and the business of carving out their own role in the new order can continue. The majority of Sigmar's cities, foremost amongst them the seven great fortress cities that form the capitals of the Sigmarite nations outside Azir, are built around realm gates captured by the storm hosts and the storm keeps that were raised to guard these sites of vital strategic importance. As such, Stormcast Eternals are commonly found in the line of battle alongside the disciplined regiments of the Free Cities. On occasion, a Stormcast Knight or Lord will assume command of an entire army. For these champions must draw upon every resource available to them in their defense of the Cod King's lands. More often, individual warrior bands of Stormcast Eternals will join an army to offer reinforcements and fight as inspiring avatars of the God King's will, battling those foes that are beyond the ability of mortals to contest with. Subinhabitants of the Free Cities look upon the Stormcasts with unease, or even outright fear. The great purges of Vindicarum and Excelsis are still fresh in the minds of many. In the white heat of battle, however, mortal and immortal fight as one without hesitation to defend their hard-won claims. The armies of the cities of Sigmar are far from purely reactive force. They form the heart of the Dawnbringer Crusades, the armies that march out into the hellscape of chaos with each new dawn. Different cities compose their crusades in different fashions, each befitting their own culture, temperament, and tactics. However, their marching orders are assembled, and whatever dangers they face in the unforgiving wilds, the armies of the Free Cities are unflagging in their determination to retake the realms. The time of constant retreat, the era of defeat, is done. Civilization will be brought to the realms once more, even if it must be built upon the remains of a million slaughtered enemies.